Would you join me in Psalm 139 again this evening? Psalm 139. David's dangerous prayer that we have been looking at in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, addressed to the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God, included four requests. We've seen three of them. The first, search me, O God, and know my heart. David wanted God to examine him, to reveal to him the true thoughts and intents of his heart. He wanted to be right with God and was willing to undergo spiritual open heart surgery so that God could reveal to him his thoughts, his misguided motives, his excuses and rationalizations, and what he was ignoring and covering up. Try me and know my thoughts. David asked God not to make him comfortable by taking him out of the furnace, but to make him uncomfortable by putting him into the furnace. He invited God to put him into a place where his anxious thoughts and fears would be revealed so as to demonstrate where he did not trust God as he should. Then he prayed, and see if there be any wicked way in me. David desired God to show him anything that was displeasing to God. He asked God to reveal any idolatrous tendencies, any grievous attitudes or actions. He was unwilling to live with habitual attitudes or activities that fell short of what God wanted for his life. How about you this evening? Are you satisfied with safe prayers? God invites us to bring any need to him. Anything that you're concerned about, God is concerned about. But too often, I know in my life, I have been satisfied with safe prayers, with prayers for comfort, prayer for provision, my needs to be met, and even some of my wants supplied. And too little have I prayed that God would challenge me and convict me. Too often have I prayed that God would make me comfortable, and not often enough have I prayed that God would make me uncomfortable. How about you today? Are you willing to commit to dangerous prayers such as David prayed? Prayers to God that invite him to reveal you to yourself, reveal your anxious fears and lack of trust, and reveal your sin. These are not prayers of comfort, but they are prayers for transformation. If we will authentically pray these kind of dangerous prayers, God will respond. He will answer our prayers and give us the opportunity to yield to his authority and activity in our lives so that we will draw nearer to Christ than we have ever been before. And that is what dangerous prayers are all about. Being nearer to Christ than you ever have been before. Experiencing transformation beyond what you have already experienced, beyond what you've ever experienced before. Experiencing transformation that will take you closer to the image of Christ, further along in your Christian walk, that will mature you and grow you and refine you as you have never been matured, grown, or refined before. There's a fourth request to this dangerous prayer. You're in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Read them aloud with me this evening, would you? Let's read them aloud together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You'll notice that the fourth request is set in juxtaposition to the previous request. David had just asked in his third request, the first recorded in verse 24, that God would see if there were any wicked way in him, any idolatrous tendencies, anything, whether it be an attitude or action that grieved God, or even was an offense to others that displeased God, that David needed to deal with. Any wicked way. But then the fourth request, set in juxtaposition to that, was that God would lead him in the way everlasting. David was not satisfied with God simply revealing his sin, but he desired God to reveal to him the direction that he should go. He wanted God to lead the way. In 2003, the National Public Radio Service interviewed Amy Ayalon. I may have mispronounced that name. This man had served from about the mid-1960s through the late 1990s as both the head of the Israeli Secret Service and the commander-in-chief of the Israeli Navy. In this particular interview that was done in 2003, the interview focused on a statement of peace principles that was co-authored by Mr. Ayalon and a Palestinian university president and professor. These two men worked together to form this statement of peace principles, these principles that would be necessary for the Israelis and Palestinians to come to a peace agreement. During the interview, the interviewer asked Mr. Ayalon regarding what could be done to get things moving in a positive direction between the Israelis and Palestinians. This type of function had been undertaken before and rarely seems to get very far, and so the interviewer wanted to know, what can be done right now in this present day and for the future to actually get things moving in a positive direction? Mr. Ayalon responded in part and said this: a captain who does not know where he wants to sail, there is no wind on earth that can take him there. A captain who doesn't know where he wants to sail, there is no wind on earth that will bring him there. In other words, you have to have a goal in mind, a destination thought of. Do you realize that God's desire for your life goes beyond correction of attitudes and activities that aren't pleasing to Him? Sometimes our children feel that way about us as parents, don't they? Those of you who are parents, your whole function in life is just to correct them when they're wrong. Sometimes they feel that way and sense that. Do you realize that God's desire and design for your life goes far beyond that? He does not just want to correct you for the wrong attitudes and wrong activities in your life that are displeasing to Him. No, God wants to direct your life. He gives you purpose, meaning, worth, significance, and opportunity. With God, there is no lack of these. As I look around at our world today, as I interact with others, and perhaps you could say the same, I see a lot of people and I interact with a lot of people who seem to lack these things. They lack purpose. They lack value and worth. They seem to lack opportunity. They seem to lack true meaning, aim, and goal in life. But with God, there is no lack of these. As a child of God, there is no need for living without an aim, for sailing without direction, or for striving without a mission. You and I can know every day, we can get up every day knowing that we have purpose and meaning. You can study, work, or play knowing that your life is not empty and meaningless. That's true for everyone in this auditorium. It's true for everyone who's watching or listening to this message. You can know that your life has meaning and purpose, significance, value, worth, purpose, an aim, a goal, a destination in mind. This reminds us of the reality that Christianity is not simply the absence of the negative, but much more truly is the presence of the positive. God brings good to us and to our lives. David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 24, not just that God would see if there was any wicked way in him so that he could correct it, but that God would lead him in the way everlasting so that he could commit to it. The word lead in verse 24 in its basic sense means to guide. David was asking God, guide me, direct my life, give me direction. Give me a destination, give me a purpose, a goal, an aim. The first time this word was used in the Bible, it was used by Abraham's servant who was tasked with going back to the place of Abraham's family to seek out a wife for Isaac. In Genesis 24, 27, we read these words, and he said, this is Abraham's servant, after he had arrived at the well and prayed specifically that the woman that God had selected for Isaac would show up at the well, would offer him water and also offer his camels water. And Rebekah showed up, the Bible says, even before he concluded praying. And this was the testimony he gave to Rebekah's family. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He was in the way, and in the context of Genesis 24, the servant was in the way that the Lord had for him of obedience to his master to seek out a wife for Isaac. And being in that way, committed to the way of God, God led him, God guided him, God directed him. He followed the Lord. He committed himself and his situation to God's care. He sought the Lord. He clearly wanted the Lord to lead him. And he determined to obey God as God led him. And so as God did, he followed and he obeyed. And it was clear to both him and to Rebekah's family that God had led. But this word lead also denotes yielding to authority in some senses. It's used again in the Psalms. In Psalm 67, verse 4, here the word is translated govern when the Bible says this, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. When you hear a word like govern, what comes to mind? Authority, power, leadership. David, when he put this request to the Lord, he was asking God to direct and lead his life, to give him guidance, But he was also recognizing and demonstrating that he was submitting himself to the authority of God. It's awesome to know that God brings value and meaning to my life. Wouldn't you say that's true? And with God, I have meaning, I have value, I have purpose, I have significance. My life is not just a breath of air that passes in the grand scheme of history, but God brings these things to my life, and it's awesome to understand that and know that. But that doesn't mean what it could and what it should if I do not submit to his authority in my life. Yes, God gives you purpose, meaning, significance, value, an aim, a goal, a destination, but that matters little if you are unwilling to submit to God's authority in your life. Are you yielded to his authority? You want your life to count for something. You want your life to have had and to have value and meaning. God brings that to you. Will you yield to his authority? Let me ask it these ways. Are you vocationally yielded to his authority? Are you in the field that God wants you in, at the company that God wants you at, working the schedule that God wants you to work, working your job the way that God wants you to work it, influencing your coworkers the way that God wants you to? Are you vocationally yielded to the Lord? In that place where you work a job to earn an income to support your family and yourself, are you yielded to the Lord in it? Are you financially yielded to his authority? Do you give what, when, and how God leads you to? Is God in control of how you use your wallet, your pocketbook, your purse? Are you relationally yielded to the Lord? Is there a relationship that is clearly not what the Lord would have it to be? This may be a marriage relationship, a parent and child or children relationship, a dating relationship, a relationship that is broken, that needs reconciliation sought. Are you mentally and emotionally yielded to the Lord, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Do you need to pray this dangerous prayer? It is great to ask God to search you, to reveal your anxious fears and reveal your sins. If you've committed to these, I trust that you are authentically praying them as God leads you and responding as God speaks to your heart. I certainly trust that your prayer life has been challenged as we have looked at the requests of David's dangerous prayers. But here in his fourth request, the rubber really meets the road. David's prayer was not just that invitation for God to reveal his heart, to reveal his fears and reveal his sins. It was an invitation to God to guide his life. It was an invitation to God to show him how to live with meaning and purpose. It was an invitation to God to lead him to have a life of meaning and significance, not resigned to the here and now, but a life of meaning and significance eternally. That's why he says, "Lead me in the way everlasting." It's the antithesis of the wicked way that perisheth. Psalm 1 is a good primer on the godly versus the ungodly. The characteristics of the godly versus the ungodly. And as it relates to one's way, The Bible tells us there that the way of the ungodly shall perish. When you and I live outside of God's plan, outside of His purpose, when we live outside of the meaning, the value, the significance, the aim, the destination that God brings to our life, we're on a path that will not yield anything of lasting and real value. The way everlasting is the way of life that touches eternity, that values eternity and the things of eternity over the temporal and the things that are temporary. It's that life that seeks eternal gain rather than temporal gain. The only way to experience this life is to begin where David began. Pray this dangerous prayer. Not only today, but every day. God, lead me in the way everlasting. My mind, my life, my heart and body are yours. My relationships are yours. My ambitions are yours. My possessions are yours. My job is yours. Strip away what you need to strip away. Add what you need to add. Direct me to live a life that is focused on eternity. God brings you and me purpose, meaning, value, significance, and opportunity. But we do not experience these as fully as we should simply by virtue of being His child. You're not going to experience those that God brings to you fully just because you're His child. Pray this dangerous prayer. God, lead me in the way everlasting. Amy Ayalon hit the nail on the head when he said, "A captain who does not know where he wants to sail, there is no wind on earth that will bring him there." The spiritual antithesis for the child of God is what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, when he said this, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." How completely is your life yielded to the authority of God? How much is your heart, your mind, your life opened to the work of God's authority and activity in your life? Yes, I want God to reveal me to myself. I want God to reveal my anxious fears and where I am lacking trust. I want God to reveal my sin. But if that's all that God brings to me, I'm missing so much still. Because God brings me purpose, meaning, value, opportunity, significance, aim, goal, destination. But I can only enjoy these fully in my life as I am completely yielded to Him. And we need to begin where David began, praying that dangerous prayer. Lead me in the way everlasting. Would you join me in reflection for a few moments this evening? Over these past 4 weeks, we have looked at the four requests of this dangerous prayer of David. There are some other dangerous prayers in the Word of God that we're going to move on to in the weeks ahead. But I trust that if we were honest with the Lord and with ourselves, we would have to admit that this dangerous prayer has challenged our prayer life, has challenged how safe and how comfortable our prayer lives have been, and how unsafe and uncomfortable God would have them to be. Perhaps God is speaking to your heart this evening. About committing to a dangerous prayer life. Would you even now call out to the Lord in your own heart and ask God to begin to transform your prayer life, so that it's not limited to comfort, but that it grows to challenge and conviction so that God might transform you even more into the image of Christ? Perhaps tonight God has spoken to your heart about His authority in your life, your openness to His authority and activity. As God is working in your heart, in just a moment I'll close our time in prayer. But if God is working in your heart, you cry out to the Lord in obedience to Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank You. For how You speak to us through Your Word. As we reflect on this dangerous prayer of David, we are reminded again that it was a prayer offered to You, the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God of the universe. No matter where we are in life, no matter what is transpiring in our lives, no matter how far from You we have wandered or how cold our hearts have become, You are present with us. And You desire to draw us close to Yourself and grow us in Christ. Father, I pray that if our hearts have been challenged about our prayer lives, and the lack that is present in them, that You would challenge us to make the commitment that You desire us to be more faithful, to be more fervent in our prayer lives. Help us to yield to Your authority and activity completely. And I pray that Your work might be accomplished in us just as You desire for it to be. Bless the remainder of this service as we spend time in prayer together. I ask that even our hearts would be knit more with you and more with one another as we enjoy this time of prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray.